an uncertain smile. Future Radio 96.9. Thank you very much to Trevor Duckham for giving us all that sound advice on pets. Joined in the studio by Dominic Lukesh and Ross Patselt. Dominic, have you got any pets?
I do not have any pets. Okay. Not even a Tamagotchi.
Did you ever have one?
No, I don't. My computer is my pet. I mean, I do take good care of my computer.
Do you feed it?
Well, no, but I upgrade it regularly, and I feed it new software, I guess. So
because caged bird owners are being urged not to panic after Norfolk Animal Sanctuary managers received an influx of calls from people worried about bird flu. Keith Hall is a manager of Hallsworth Animal Sanctuary in Stratton Strawlis. He has said 20 callers from bird owners in just 2 days, many wanting to get rid of their pets for fear that they or the children could contract the disease. And, Ross, you've got a bird.
I have good eating on one of those, isn't it?
You what?
Well, you know, I mean, you could always have one. If you want to get rid of your pet, I mean, it's a...
You could eat one.
You could eat one. You could eat it, yeah.
What, your budgie?
This is where...
Presumably.
There won't be a lot of meat on it.
Yeah.
I don't think we should talk about this, should we?
That kind of thing.
I think my budgie's got permanent bird flints. It's always miserable.
Because people have been panicking about their caged birds. Yeah. That's when our vet was just talking about that. So
how can you get the bird flu if the bird's in a cage? I mean, there's no way for it to get the bird flu.
That's what Trevor
did. It has to go
say.
Around and pick at a bird that has been diseased in some way. So if you don't feed your budgie dead swans that you find on the coast, then I think you're pretty safe.
Yeah. Or dead seagulls, whatever. Anyway, do take care of your caged bird. So, Ross... what do you reckon then on this latest news then that Dominic's got for us regarding the free software?
Yeah, well, I have some. Well, today I'm gonna have just no end of news. I got some mind blowing tips for you later on, but I have some great news to start with. And first, Larry Page is getting married.
There is.
Larry Page. You guys have no idea who Larry Page is. Do you?
Google man? Or?
He is, yes. He is he's the co-founder of Google along with Sergey Brin, who already had tied the knot early this year. I don't know why I know it. I was listening to a podcast on the way in and they were talking about it, so that's how I know. So,
we should have known that, Tim.
Yes.
Larry Page.
How come I didn't make the front page of People or Us or whatever these things are called.
I'm talking about the football instead, aren't they, on the front pages these times? So that's the main news.
But there is some Google news that we didn't talk about last week. Google has unleashed Android, which is their new open source sort of a phone platform. They're hoping that lots of phone companies will jump on the bandwagon and make it easier to integrate your mobile phone with the web. But that's still just a standard and something that, so we have no idea what's going to happen. But there was a lot of buzz just at the same time that the iPhone was being released here in the UK. There was a lot of buzz around the mobile technology circles and just about the Google phone.
Have you seen that? I think it's Windows have made a table, like a big table, and it's a computer, and you can touch screen computer.
Oh, yeah, that was earlier this year. That was that was in June that came out. Yeah, it's called... I can't remember what it's called. Yeah, it's a big table that... It's kind of funny. And they're thinking that they would be selling to companies. So imagine you go to a restaurant and your menu just appears on your desk in front of you. And you can use your fingers just going to leaf through it and move it around the desk and things like that.
Because they've done an advert and it just says, this is also a big-ass table.
Yeah, so that was
an iPhone.
that was a parody. It was just and it's very funny. You can find it on YouTube if you search for... I can't remember what the table was called. It had some funny name. But yes, that was a very funny parody saying, comparing to the iPhone.
So where should we go next? They've got some more news?
Yes, I mean, there's always more news coming around. Today, there's a massive announcement in the United States coming out from Amazon. They have something called the Kindle. And that is an e-book reader, which is based around e-paper. I don't know if you've heard about this sort of stuff. It's basically, there's a new technology out that's been around for about 4 or 5 years, and it's slowly, very slowly maturing into something usable called e-paper. And basically, that is a display. It's like a computer display, but it has the same reflective properties as paper, and it has the same resolution as paper. So, for instance, when you look at when you try to read on a screen, you only have 72 dots per inch.
Right.
Whereas on a piece of paper, you have, depending on the laser printer, the printing technology, about 600 dots per inch. These e-papers have around 200 dots per inch. So they're very close to paper. they don't need any battery power to show the image. They only need battery power to turn pages. So you could have a, you know, you could have an e-book that lasts you a couple of weeks on a single battery charge, because they actually measure battery life in page turns, and it's like, you know, a couple of thousand page turns before the battery runs down. So, you know, so it's a very nice technology. And Amazon, unfortunately, none of that has been easily available in the United Kingdom. It's all in the U.S.
Why is that?
And probably because all of these things are tied into e-book stores. And those, the UK and the European market is just too fragmented, because the, you know, the UK English market is too small, and, you know, and the multiple languages in the EU, I think, are sort of holding things back. You can buy ebook readers in the in Europe, but they're very expensive. They're in the sort of 700 euro range, whereas the Kindle is like $400, which is still expensive. But imagine you could have 20, well, no, you could have hundreds of books on it. So you go on a holiday, you know, world trip, you know, tour around the world, and you can have all the books you want for the entire trip.
Is that a useful invention, do you think, Ross? Having stuff you can actually... Because would that stop you getting a headache when you're reading loads of stuff
because,
off the
screen? Yes, that's right, because on the screen very often... Well, there is no flicker on... I mean, it's not as bad on LCD. I have actually read several books on just in my laptop, and it's not that big a deal.
What do you reckon, Ross?
Never used it before.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I haven't either. I've never used the e-book readers because I've seen pictures of them. They look wonderful. But they're just not available, and I would buy one if they were available in the UK. But they're still a bit too expensive, not quite. So I'm waiting for... But I think that is the future. In 2 or 3 years, they will be much more affordable, much more sort of easily available. And in 10 years, I think we'll be reading newspapers on these things and books.
How
much
big are
more,
they, Dom?
Much more readily. I'm sorry?
How big are they?
They can be as big as you want, but the ones, the Kindle and the Sony also has an e-book reader that's been out for about a year. And that's about the size of a small paperback book. So you can put it in your pocket. Okay. And, of course, the problem is if you leave it on the train, you know, we should leave a paperback here. You're out £6. You know, if you leave one of these things, you're out £200. So that's, you know, that's definitely a downside.
Okay, keep our eyes peeled for that one. And would you go out and buy a G-phone if you could?
Well, there isn't a G-phone to be bought. G-phone is this Android thing I was telling you about. That's... The internet, you know, the tech world has been abuzz about the iPhone first. That was a big rumor that came true. And then the G phone was another rumor that was circulating. And because everybody loves Google and they think Google can do no wrong, they thought, well, if they came out with a phone, that would be, you know, the most amazing hardware device ever. But Google did what they do best. They came up with a platform, and they found lots of partners, including Motorola and, you know, all these phone manufacturers. But we're probably not going to see any phones based on Android, which is, you know, the code name for it, for at least a year. So, you know, so it was a big hoopla, but really for anybody listening to this program, they're probably not going to see any results of it for quite a while.
Let's take a quick musical break, then we'll come back and talk about some free software, and also give people a chance to get onto Google, and you can go through some more secrets and tips for your computer with Dom. Do that after Parker. And this is Sugar Coated. There goes Parker and Sugar Coated, Future Radio 96.9 for a Monday morning. It's getting a little bit brighter out there. All the leaves have gone off the trees around in the Moton Road. It's Tim, it's Ross, it's Dominic. We're talking Tech Talk. Hope you've had time to get to your computer. We've had a bit of a musical chairs in here because now Dominic is in front of the computer. Because, Dom, you're going to go through a few of the secrets and
well,
the keys.
Well, yes. I mean, we were talking about different tips for... what to do with a new computer, what sort of free software you should install. And then we also said we would talk about some Google tricks. And I decided to combine that into one big, giant trick that everybody should know. So when you get a new piece of software, the first thing you should do is junk your Internet Explorer. Well, don't junk it, just ignore it, and install Firefox. So you will need it to start with. So you just open your Internet Explorer, go to getfirefox.com, install Firefox.
I don't think I've done this yet.
No, never.
No, so you should.
I've never used it.
Now, Firefox has many advantages. It is a safer browser. It can have extensions so that you can make it do pretty much anything in the world. So it's a great browser. But I'm going to show you a few tricks about it that make it absolutely a necessity for me, because I use this thing all the time, and it can actually sit here in the studio. I installed it on the studio computer when I was here on Friday, and it can save you a lot of time when you're searching and doing things. things like that. So the first thing you do, the first thing we're talking about Google. So unlike Internet Explorer 6, and just like Internet Explorer 7, it has this little search box in the corner, in the top corner. So you don't have to go to Google anymore. You just click in this search box in the top right corner, and you type in whatever you want to search for.
Enter. I've got one of those in my browser, but the problem is it goes to google.com, not .co.uk, and I can't seem to change it.
Mine goes to Yahoo. I can't change mine either.
Yes, there is a way to change it. It's there's this little arrow, and you can fiddle around with your manager search engines, and you can add new ones. So you can go to, and then you can click get more search engines, and then you can get more, so you can get the Google UK search engine. But I'm going to show you something much, much cooler than that. I actually never used that box.
So box in the top right-hand corner of the browser.
Yeah, it's great, yeah. It's useful, but if you're sort of a bit more advanced user, you can get much more. And let me show you what you can do. You can do something called a search shortcut. So everywhere, if you go on a web page and you see a search field, you can right-click. Right-click is one of the most useful things to learn on the computer. So do it all the time. You can right-click on it and say, add keyword for search. So we can say, this is a GU search, and then our keyword could be GU.
So what Dominic's done is opened up a second box, middle of the screen, a small gray box.
It says add bookmark, and you type in the name and keyword GU. And then I just go to the Firefox address bar, and I type in GU, and whatever I'm searching for, I hit enter, and it gives me the results from just the UK pages.
Right. Okay.
So I'm saving myself so much time because I have at home I have about 20 of these shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And so for instance, I already set up here when you want to search. Very often in studio, you want to confirm some fact, so you want to search on Wikipedia, right? So okay. I already set up a shortcut here called WK. And I search for something, let's say Mac. And I just type it into the address bar. I don't have to go to Wikipedia first. So I'm saving myself like 3 clicks right here.
Can we just talk about Wikipedia a second, Ross? Do you use Wikipedia
all the time?
And
it's my best friend.
How do we know it's accurate? How do we know it's not full of a load of rubbish?
It's accurate enough for the sort of stuff you will need on radio. It's plenty accurate. I mean, for instance, there's lots of little errors in biography. So if you say an obscure fact about somebody in a biography, like he was, like Winston Churchill was in a ska band, you may want to question that.
Okay.
Right, because apparently lots of people. Norman Mailer just died, and there was he was a long time Chelsea United, whatever, Manchester United supporter. Somebody put that in, and then the editors tagged it as a vandalism, but it's probably inserted to catch lazy journalists. Mm. So if you're a journalist and you're trying to write a profile of Norman Mailer, and you just crib everything off Wikipedia and you type in something so stupid as Norman Mailer was a supporter of Chelsea and don't check your fact, it serves you right.
Can you imagine that?
It's basically for basic quick reference.
Superb.
And it happens. Yeah. It happens all the time.
I'd like to see that. Yeah. Caught you out there.
So basically, Wikipedia is okay for the search. But the other one, you can do a shortcut for Amazon, because very often you want to confirm what kind of album the track that you're playing is from, right? So you go to Amazon.
So go to www.amazon.com or .co.uk, or does it matter?
You can do both. At home, I have shortcuts for both. By the way, another useful trick.
What's the difference between the two sites?
Amazon.com often has a bigger catalog, I find.
Okay.
Would you
recommend buying stuff from Amazon.com? Because the dollar against the pound?
No, not for that reason. If they have something, they will ship, and the shipping is reasonable, and it's worthwhile. Sure, why not? I do it, but I mostly do it for books, where there's not big of a, there's not much of a danger for returns, So I go. Let me type this in, the Amazon search, and AM would be our shortcut. So now again, I go to the address bar where you normally type Amazon.com. I type in AM. And I go, and then I whatever search I want to go,
Because Ross is looking at this, and these are some of the shortcuts that Dom has put in. But you're thinking the same as me. This is too complicated.
Well, the thing is, I've always used Internet Explorer, and for instance, Wikipedia. Uh-huh. If you go into the address bar, you only got to put in WR, and that'll already bring it up. If that's any history.
Yeah, but then you have to find a search button and use the mouse to get to it. I use my shortcut Control L, get me to the address bar. Yeah. I type in WK. R-O-S-S, see if there's an entry in Ross. And there is, in Scottish Gaelic, is a region of Scotland and former...
Ross of Cromarty, yes.
Yes. Anyway.
It's the biggest region, it's the biggest voting region, the whole of the UK when it comes to election time.
Yes, anyway, so there you go. You know, so there... So there you go. So I did it in one, you know, and so I didn't have to touch the mouse, which is useful in the studio because the mice here are awkward, and it's good because it's the mouse that gives you the carpal tunnel, you know, because you have to sort of move your hand in all sorts of unnatural ways.
So carpal tunnel syndrome. That's like RSI, repetitive
strain
injury.
That's the same thing. I think carpal tunnel is one of those.
But
so one kind of RSI. Yeah.
But because we have wireless mice here to use some of the equipment in a studio, but because it doesn't necessarily work fantastically well in the middle of all the equipment, is that because there's lots of other kind of rays and
but
and
even on
static?
On a regular desk, you know, you're just gonna, it's an unnatural position to have your hand like this or away from your keyboard. So if you can stay on the keyboard, you'd be much more productive and a lot faster. So I'm, you know, so I'm in the studio. It actually saves you a lot of time, you know, when you have like 20 seconds left before the song finishes. But even in normal life, you know, it's just a useful trick to have. And so learn your shortcuts, and that you'll be much more productive. And Firefox, of course, is a great way to do your shortcuts. And then the other feature that I, of course, use is the tabbed browsing, so I can have a bunch of tabs open at once.
So whereabouts will the listener find a tab? Are they going onto tab on the keyboard?
No, you just actually what you do is there's a little thing. You can add a new tab. You can double click on
the top right hand corner of your browser. Click on that, and it comes up
to
a new tab.
Yeah, you double click and you can open it a new tab. You can, if you, actually another useful fun thing is if you use the middle, the scroll wheel of your mouse
in the middle,
and you click on a link, it opens in a new tab in Firefox.
Because
so you can use it for clicking.
I've got normal Internet Explorer, and when it got downloaded, the new one, I have got that similar tab, so instead of having to have five different pages open.
The tabs work the same way in Internet Explorer 7, but they don't. But here in the studio, we only have 6, so that doesn't work. So Firefox is better that way for
interesting
for here.
Stuff. I mean, talking about mice, I mean, I've got a mouse, internet mouse, computer mouse in my hand, a wireless one, and it's about the size of my palm of my hand. And I can imagine this being the equivalent of a mobile phone brick in time to come, because I reckon what will happen is we'll have mice on our fingers or maybe even pads, and we'll just be able to scroll around in front of us.
Yeah.
And probably quite soon. Is that an invention you can see happening?
I think they already exist.
Really?
I have a friend who has this little thing in front of his keyboards that actually has a very strange mechanism that works quite well for you know, for navigating around the web pages.
It is less stuff on your desk, and the less the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was looking last night. They had a tribute to Kenny Everett, and Kenny Everett has these fantastic old jingles, and he had like a studio full of tape and carts and machinery and other tape recorders and reel-to-reels. Mm-hmm. And today we just have, wouldn't we? We just have a computer and do the kind of stuff here and now, much less kind of equipment.
Well, even before we had these computers, you had mini-disc.
True,
like,
yes.
Look how small they were compared to the reel-to-reels. Yeah.
If people want to get in touch with you, Dominic, and ask you a question, have you got a direct email
address? Yes, techtalk@futureradio.co.uk.
And you're quite happy to do anything?
I am quite happy to answer questions. I'll try to, I mean, I haven't had any yet, so I'll be happy to answer whatever comes in and, you know, just answer anything on air that is interesting. But, you know, then, of course, people can listen to this again on the podcast page, which is futureradio.co.uk/techtalk.
Okay.
And one tip that I have one last tip, we have a few more seconds, and this is a very fast tip. If you go to your Google corner in the Firefox or just Google in regular and type in Film Norwich, the first link you will get is Showtimes for Norwich.
Oh, wow, yes.
And they have this wonderful show listings, and it's a, and with, it shows you the star ratings for the films. It has direct links to reviews. It has maps of the cinemas that you can go to. And it's a wonderful little shortcut. I use it all the time.
So go to google.co.uk and type in Film Norwich, and you have all the screenings for what the next week is out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. And also some of the reviews, some of the star ratings, and all that kind of stuff. Dom, thank you very much for your help today. What we'll do next week, we'll do the free software, okay?
Okay. Well,
exclusively free software.
Firefox, of course, is free software.
Okay.
So get it, love it, use it, learn to use the shortcuts.
Are you going to use Firefox, Ross?
No. To be honest with you.
I might well do. I'll go back and have a look and have some play with it. If you've got any thoughts at home there about Firefox and about some of Dom's tips, and if they've been useful, do get in touch, techtalk at futureradio.co.uk, and we will be interested to hear some of your comments, some of your information that you get back to us. But Dom, we'll see you next week. Thanks very much for your time.
Bye.
And Ross.
Hi.
You are on air in an hour, so more preparation to come from
you. Yeah, I'm going to be back on my computer
today.
Now.
Oh, yes. Okay, back to the day job for you guys then.